All right, you remember that King Solomon was the son of David, and David was the second king in Israel. First king was Saul. The second king was David. And David was a man after God's own heart. Saul was a man after God's own soul. But he was a soulish man. But David was actually not so worried about his behavior. He was more concerned about God being merciful and gracious. Saul was legalistic. He's always trying to keep the law and goofed up from time to time. And he really loathed confessing his sin. He wanted to confess his innocence or declare that he was innocent. But David was readily like, oh boy, done it again. Against thee and thee only have I sinned, done that which is evil in thy sight, etc., etc. Created me a clean heart. God, I need a whole new heart. This old heart of mine is just going nowhere. David was well aware, O Lord, if thou should mark iniquities, who could stand? At any rate, Solomon came into the world under the most oddball circumstances. Another one of David's sins was that he killed his best friend Uriah and then took his wife and so on and so forth. So he's naughty, bad. And he said, you know, God, if you mark iniquities, I'm not going to make it. But be merciful to me. Be merciful to me, a sinner. So it's good to know that God loves sinners. Amen? I hope some of you are. How many are? Oh, praise God. That is awesome. We've almost got a full church. Let's see that again. How many are sinners? Oh, great. Praise God. I am right at home. So Christians also sin. How many know that Christians sin too? I mean, when you're born again, that doesn't stop the sinning. It just, it's got new kinds of sins, Christian-type sins. Judgmentalism and, you know, that kind of thing. I'm better than you are and so on. So Christians have not only the regular sins going for them, but they have additional pride sins and judgment sins and stuff like that. But King David knew, hey, I got to have a new heart. I mean, you got to do it, God. You gave me the old one. That's not working. I'm not blaming you. I'm just simply saying, hey, come on, don't just forgive me. Help me. Give me a new heart and a right spirit within me. He's talking about his soul. Give me both of those. Give me, you know, if you want something, make it happen. Don't be looking to me to behave. How many misbehave every once in a while? Not frequently, you know, nothing like that because you're Christian. But from time to time, we sin. And so every nanosecond, for example. And so God is a, this is the there's only one God like this in the whole world, our God, who actually loves sinners. Doesn't love them sinning, he just loves them. And especially after they've sinned, he wants them to know that he has mercy for them, that he has no anger. God does not desire the death of any sinner. You can think of some, you know, really, really bad ones, not like you and I, but bad. Well, some of you, but really bad. And you know what? God doesn't hate Esau. I know what it says, but he doesn't hate Esau. What he's disturbed with Esau or Pharaoh is that after they sinned, they didn't take the free offer. I mean, I would have forgiven you. He gave him 10 chances. Remember Pharaoh? He gave him 10 chances over and over again. But, of course, God knew before he started all those chances that he was not going to accept them. And then he knew at the end, I'll just conquer you. I know exactly where your weak spot is. I could start out with that. I'm starting out with small things. How many know that God sometimes starts out with small things? You know, watch your tongue. Well, that was a big one. Let's see, start with something small. And so on. So if you could just conquer your belly, if you could just conquer your eyes, the lust of the eyes, and so on, if you could just conquer those, then everything would be okay. But nobody ever has. Nobody ever has. Nobody ever has. So since nobody ever has, and some are even lying about it, God will even forgive that. How many know that God loves hypocrites? He got so many, he got to, you know. If you want to have anybody at the wedding, you got to have some hypocrites there. But God loves everybody. What he hates is that no one takes his offer after they've sinned. In fact, you can sin against the Father, break all of his laws. You can sin against the Son and murder him, kill him, turn him in, do him in. You can crucify Jesus every day if you want to. Those are forgivable. I mean, those are forgivable sins. You can, you know, commit adultery, break, you know, steal, lust. You can do anything you want to do. He'll forgive that. But the one thing he won't forgive, the blasphemy against the Holy Spirit. Why? Because the Holy Spirit's the one that takes what's Jesus's and then applies it to you and tells it to you, declares it to you, that after you've sinned whatever you've done against the Father and against the Son, don't say there's no hope. I will still forgive you. Wow. That's quite an offer. That is an incredible offer. Did you know that if God be for you, who can be against you? Let's say he's conditionally for you, then he could be against you. But he's not. Remember once Jesus had a harlot, somebody who had, you know, over and over again had messed around. And he said, neither do I condemn you. My Father doesn't, and neither do I. I mean, I always do what the Father says, and he doesn't condemn you. Wow, that was awesome. Because she was like, wow, I'm off. That is amazing. He was a good judge. I'll tell you, that is a good judge, that when you're absolutely dead on guilty, he lets you off. So go and sin no more. That means he knew she sinned. Is it like he thought she was innocent? You know, I noticed the mascara running down your eye, and I noticed it was 12 noon. You know, I just had a feeling you were up all night and so on. But he didn't at all call to attention, and he didn't have in his mind. Did you know that his thoughts toward us are always thoughts of peace? So anyway, so King David, unlike Saul, he went for the thing, but he didn't get it. But he had a promise. He had a promise that God has made me king. So God making you king, that is a house. You can build a house for yourself, a household, a kingdom. And so he built this king and made him all kinds of promises. Ah, here we go. So you could build a house over here on a foundation. So this could be the foundation right here. And this could be the house on top of it. A wise man builds his house upon a rock. And so here you could have the political house and put a sword here, the sword, and it will put a law here, a law that says don't do bad, do good, or else. And so the power that's up here could be used for good or for bad. And here would be the bad over here. We'll make a little pyramid with an eye over it and then an eyebrow and so on. So this civil and religious tyranny is what God doesn't want. He doesn't want this kind of lawless behavior, religious tyranny. That's what God's against. He wants religious liberty, civil and religious liberty. So this would be good government, just government. This would be just government if God could get civil and religious liberty instead of tyranny. So this one has to be against that one. So use this sword to get that guy and stop him, restrain him. This guy needs to be, because he's lawless, he has no law holding him back. He got rid of the natural law. Fooey on that. That's not going to stop me. And he didn't like the chains of the natural law. And he didn't like the strong cords of God's revealed law. So he just gets rid of those. Make up his own Baal thing. So this will be Baal. And so Baal, let's worship, let's make up our own God, one that we can control. How many know that it's very hard to submit to a God that you control? It'd be like a wife submitting to her husband after she controls him. Okay, that was meant to be humorous. I would submit, but you're not controllable yet. Anyway, that doesn't work so well. Now, over here is another house, the house of the Lord, and this house, you know, I'll put one of those, but you could put one of these. You can have anything you want in here. But some kind of religion that also has a foundation, only this foundation here would be a natural foundation. But this one, remember natural law? That one's that one, which he threw off, that guy threw off. And then over here is revealed law. And that's another, that's the cords. Those are those cords that bind and restrain and restrict and limit. And so revealed law, that would be a foundation too of true, let's have true government or over here. And then let's over here have true religion. So true religion. So the true religion would be the one under God's merciful arm. This would be him as Redeemer. And this one would be mercy. This one would be promise, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. I'm for you. So this would be a spiritual trust. This would be one that's a spiritual trust, not a public or natural trust. Spiritual trust. This would be right here a natural trust. This would be over here also a public trust up here. This would be the public trust, one that men make on top of that other one. So you've got now these two houses, and this is where I want to start. These two houses we are to make. So everybody should start out with which house? Which house would you like to start on? The one that makes this world a better place or the one that makes your heart changed? Okay, the heart change is what he wants. He wants you to have a pure heart. Well, since he wants it, he ain't going to get it unless he does it, unless he just gives it to you. Because, so that's why on this side you can't have law. You can have law on this other side because over here, this is the creator. This is God as creator over here. And as creator, he wants to have laws. But the problem with laws is you have to do them. The good thing about promise is he does them. So this is better because this one's free over here. This is totally the land of freedom. Completely free. You have to worship God with a willing heart, with a willing mind, with a willing, you know, you say everything has to be freely done from the heart. So this one touches the heart. This one doesn't. This one just touches the body and the soul. And so over here, you have law instead of mercy. You don't have any gospel, no good news, because everything is behave yourself or else. So that's why this guy threw off all those chains. You know, he decided, let's start out with idols. We hate the living God because he's got these heavy laws on you, and that'll lead to immorality, and that will lead to injustice. And so all of these things are what we see today. We see injustice because we see immorality in the people, because we see idols in the heart of people. And so a lot of lukewarm religion is over here. This could be lukewarm religion, and it's not enough, no matter where it is. It could be over here too, because you can have hypocrites over here obeying the law, but in their heart they want to do wrong. So this could be hypocritical. But God wants to have absolutely perfect heart. He wants to have you a perfect heart. And the thing that does that, there's only one thing in the world that does that. That is the mercy of God, the promises of God, the fact that God wants to give you everything and he's always for you. So that's this side over here. And this side over here, everything else, these are the bad guys here. We don't want tyranny, but you're going to get it because this one's not strong enough to stop it without this one. So unless this is the foundation of this, unless you're the light and the salt of this world, unless you're the temple of the living God, you're not going to have a just government on earth. You'll have one of these. And so King Solomon, who was the son of David, was just starting out he was young and tender, as David said, and David was on his deathbed, and he said, of all my sons, he was a horrible father, actually, David was, and he just messed up with his kids, and he messed up with his wives. And so David was a good king, though, but he did sin a lot, too. How many know kings sin? I mean, they have little perks and stuff that they want to do. Some ministers do, too. That some ministers do. Thank God, not me. But there are ministers that are bad. So you have people in these two houses, and which one should we build first? Well, God recommends this one over here. Start with the house of God. So instead of building your palace first, David's kingdom and all of that, why don't you start with the house of God? And if you read the book of Malachi, the last book in the Bible of the Old Testament, it says, you know, you panel your own homes, but what about the house of God? Now, he's talking about paneling. But God is not interested in paneling. He's interested in people. So he doesn't want paneling, you know, off of your house. What he wants is stop worrying about your soul, your body. I want you to worry about your spirit first. You know, seek ye first the kingdom of God. I'll give you everything else. Everything else that the world wants, I'll give it to you for free. You want political problems solved? I'll give it to you for free. You want economic problems solved, prosperity and all that? I'll give it for free. You want social problems solved? I'll give you that for free. So the only thing I want is just seek me. If my people who are called by my name. I don't care about the world people. I just want my people, the ones that are over on this side of the line, they're listening to my mercy, my offer after you've sinned. This one is to sinners only. To be on that side over there to get the gift of mercy, of gospel, of all those wonderful things where God is for you and not against you, you have to be wicked. How many know that some of you are pre-qualified? You're pre-qualified. You already are exactly what he's looking for. He's got a present for you under the, you know, manger here. He's got a present for you that says for sinners. Offer for sinners. Free gift. You open that up and, you know, skip the wrapping. You know, there's something inside there, which is Jesus' death and his resurrection and his ascension and his, you know, reigning and ruling now forever for his people and constantly keeping us in this spiritual trust. So God has everything designed and rigged so that nobody on this side makes it. It's rigged that that house doesn't work without this house being under that house. So if you put this first house over here under that, then you can actually get one of these things here. Otherwise, you can't get this. So you can't get this one here. I'll make this green. You can't get B. You can't get B without having A over here, the blood of Jesus shed. So you got to have A in order to get B and then prevent. If you get B, you prevent C, only if A is still there. So C is the bad guys. B is the good guys, but they're only good for this world. They're not yet in this world. So you have to be the salt. That's the truth of the gospel that convicts them so that they repent of their sin. And then if they repent of their sin, and these guys can come too, by the way. They can repent too. And you're the light to show them not just what they've done wrong, salt, truth of the gospel, but also the light that shows them how to live, love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, faithfulness, and so on and so forth, meekness, self-control. Those nine gifts of the Spirit, you don't get those over here. You can only get those over here. They're heavenly. They're heavenly gifts. So you need to get these gifts to these people because you're the light, you're the salt, you're the temple, and there is no other. God cannot use, this can never renew the world. If you had a just government, it would become unjust in no time without this foundation. So the problem today in Texas, the problem today in America, the problem today in the world is we don't have enough of these. Though the harvest is ripe, the laborers are few. And here's the problem over here is you've got to have people who start out down here in the heart. They start out believing in Jesus. And then after you believe in Jesus, the next thing is to submit to him. You have to now not believe, but submit to his discipleship or his discipline or his all kinds of suffering until your flesh is dead. That would mean like never listening to your emotions, never listening to your mind, never listening to your will and desires and so on. You have to give up your soul. So you have to really be crucified right here with Christ. You have to be crucified daily, every single day. So it's a big, it's kind of a, you know, heavy duty thing where every day you have to not listen to your mind. Every day you have to not listen to your emotions. Every day. So when you have an honest thought, it's evil. I don't care what it is. It's evil until you bring it, take every thought captive to the Word of God. So here's the Word of God, the Bible. You got to read this Bible all the time to keep from falling away. Because it's good news here when I'm believing Jesus died for me, but now I have to die and take up my cross here for him, and then I can walk in love. Then I can walk in love with my bridegroom. So here is now being led by the Spirit. I need to be led by the Spirit, led by the Holy Spirit. Here I need to be filled with the Holy Spirit, emptied of me. And here I need to be born of the Spirit. I need Jesus to be my Savior, my Lord, my bridegroom. So here he is as bridegroom. Here he is, bridegroom. And that's the part most people skip. And the reason they skip it is because it's too hard to go through this part here, this fire, this daily death through the lordship thing of obeying a Lord. Jesus, you are my Lord, and I submit to anything you say and anything you want. And then it shows up in do. You know, this is the do part, this is the will part, and this is the, right here, this is the faith part. So all of this down here is Savior. I have faith in my Savior, but he doesn't want to be Savior. He wants to die as Savior so then he can become the Lord, so that then he can baptize you in the Holy Ghost, so that then he can live through you, so that you can be a blessing to over to here. So you are a blessing to this world and even to the bad guys over here. You're a blessing because they don't have any hope unless the church is the church. So all of this is the church here. This is the secret to the whole world, is that the church needs to be the church and not just lukewarm. If it's lukewarm, it does nothing. So the lukewarm is soulish. Even if they're born again in their heart, they never go on beyond believing. They believe Jesus died for them. They believe Jesus forgives all their sins. But they just keep living in this world, the lust of the eyes, the lust of the flesh, the pride of life, you know, all those things that make them in love with this world. But if you're in love with this world, you're not going to make it. How many know that if you're a bride without spot, wrinkle, or any such thing, you make it? But what if you're a harlot? Well, you don't make it. And so God doesn't want to come back for a church like that. Isn't that exciting? Don't you love this? It's good to hear these things because God hates sin, because the sin is not so much committing the sin, but after you've committed the sin, then to forgive yourself and to have God forgive you so that you can then become a lover and do what he intended in the first place, which is not to be the lover, but to let him through you, because he's in you to will and to do of his good pleasure. So he doesn't want your deeds to be wrought in you. How many know that you don't want to do? You don't want to give up. If you ask your will, do you want to do the will of God? Yeah, I guess so. You know, because the will's not that eager. How many know that we're not like, yes. You know, we're more like, yeah, okay, I have to. Yeah. And so that's lukewarm. So people are lukewarm. They say, yeah, okay, I'm a Christian. Yeah, I should do that as a Christian. And then they feel guilty if they don't, and they feel proud if they do, and in other words, they go to hell. So that is not good. So what you want is happy people all the time. This is the only group over here that's happy all the time. All the time. All the time. Joy unspeakable and full of glory. Amen. Isn't that exciting? Don't you love that? Just joy unspeakable. Happy people aren't into sin. Why? Because they're satisfied. They drunk the drink and they're satisfied forever. I've met my beloved. You know, I've sold everything I have for the pearl of great price and it's over. I mean, the minute you meet Jesus, you're dead to this world. and you're alive to God in Christ Jesus, and all you want to do is serve others. All you want to do is serve the Lord, and he doesn't need the service, so he just shunts you over to the world, and, you know, just be a light down here. I'm going to leave you alive, otherwise I'd just kill you and take you home. But I'm not going to leave you down here. You be the light. You be the salt. Tell everybody. Get excited. They'll hate you, of course, and they'll despise you and so on. Be good. That's good. What a joy that'll be. What, you know, that's the mark of a true Christian, is that then when they suffer, they rejoice. They not only don't get mad at the bad guy, but they actually pray for the bad guy, bless the bad guy, confess their own wickedness and their own sins, because there's probably some flaw in them, and then they just praise God. So this is a happy worship service group over here. Anyway, King Solomon. King Solomon decided, you know, my dad had it in his heart. He had it in his heart to build the house of the Lord. Before he built his own palace, before he set up his own house. So A should precede B. And that will prevent C. But if you try to build B without A, you won't. You'll lose. The devil, I tell you, the gates of hell can absolutely take anything in this world. The best of man, they can take it. So Jesus said, I'll build my church, and the gates of hell will not prevail against her, my bride. If I could get a few bridally pure, without spot, wrinkle, blemish, stain, anything of this world, if I could just get one or two like that, five, or if I could just get six. Lord, he doesn't have to have everybody. He just wants those that want to come all the way. And if you check with your will, you don't want to. If you check with your mind, you won't understand it. You check with your emotions, you're going to feel miserable about, you know, always playing the harp for God, doing whatever he tells you to do. I mean, you know, that is misery, especially, you know, if you think that God is not for you. If you thought God was for you and that you couldn't do anything apart from him, but he could do everything for you, that would be different. If you felt that God never had a negative thought toward you, my thoughts toward you are always thoughts of peace, shalom. I'm always thinking of blessing you. I'm always thinking of your freedom. I'm always thinking of your safety. I'm always thinking of your happiness. I have never thought about my own, nor has my son, nor has the Holy Spirit. We're all for you. When you were naturally made, before you were even believers, when you were naturally made, I wrote it right on your natural heart. When you were conceived in the womb, before you were born. I didn't wait till birth. I wrote that with my finger, God saith. Mm-hmm. I wrote it on there, be good. Never do bad. I wrote that on there. So everybody knows when you do something bad. Let's say you slap somebody. You know, I don't know, that probably wasn't good. But your mind right away will justify it. That was good, and that felt good. I got even with that person. How many know that your little psyche, your little psychological nature is not you, or it could be you? It depends on which one you choose. Do you think you are who Jesus is, or do you think you are who you are? Now, what if Jesus said, I'm going to live my life not for myself, but for you? I'll be your life. And before the foundation of the world, he said, I'm going to be your life. And I'm going to live a perfect life for you so that you can have all the blessing and all the glory and all the splendor, not only for eternity, but for time. Wow, that'd be awesome if Jesus lived his life, because his life is perfect. And if he said, no, Father, I didn't do that for myself so I could go to heaven. I'm God. I don't need that. I did that for Jim. I became the son of man, like a king, like a ruler, like a leader. I became the son of man. I became the greatest of men, but it was easy because the Father that dwelleth in me doeth the works. The Father that dwelleth in me do the works, because I'm always submitted to him. I always do what's pleasing to him. Do you see how easily Jesus can say that, and most of us, all of us, can't say that. I always do what's pleasing to the Father. How many know there's not a person alive ever from the foundation of the world that could say that, even if you're a Christian? You can't say, I always do what's pleasing to him. You could say, I always want to do it. I believe that spiritually I'm doing it. But you couldn't say you actually do it. How many know that no Christian on earth is perfect? Unless you're a pastor. Unless you're a pastor. Pastors, that's different. Bill, me, some others, you know, David and so on. We can do it. No, there is nobody perfect. There's nobody perfect. Amen? There's only one mediator between God and man. The man, Jesus Christ, Son of Man, is the Son of God. He's the King. He's one of David's sons. He's the son that David's talking about, not Solomon. Solomon just means Prince of Peace. Jesus is the Prince of Peace. So there's another son of David. So when we read this story today of Chronicles, nobody likes Chronicles. Chronicles are just what kings did and, you know, what they did. Everything. It's kind of boring. I find it fascinating. I find the whole gospel right there. It's incredible. So here's the picture right here is the only way you can build B is to first build A. Now, Solomon was eager. You know how long it took him to build A? Half of his time. He spent way too much time building that thing. And David had saved up all the money and stuff and the gold and the silver and the brass and the nails and the, you know, cunning artists and everything. He had gathered all that before he dropped dead. And God said, I don't want you to build the house. I don't want you to build that house. I don't want you to build it. Well, it's in my heart. I know it's in your heart. That's good. That's good. You want to be. You want to. But you're a man of blood. You're a killer. You're a warrior. You do like that. I want a man of peace to do this. So it had to be Solomon or Jesus. Now we know it's not Solomon, it's Jesus. Because Solomon, he goofed up. How many know Solomon goofed up? For the first 20 years or so, he was okay. And he got wisdom. Remember, he prayed for wisdom. Don't give me riches and power. Just give me wisdom and, you know, knowledge and so on and so forth. That's all I need just to know. I want to just serve you as your trustee, your steward, your servant. I want to do everything you say. Wouldn't it be good if we had kings like that today? If we had rulers like that right here in the state of Texas or right here in Fort Worth or over in Dallas, whatever. We don't. We have people that are easily bribed. They're easily bribed. I can tell you some ways they do it. It's really good. Because let's say you win your election as an honest politician. I swear to God, I will be faithful to account to you, to tell you what I'm doing, to listen to your calls and so on. And as soon as they get elected, the next day, you get some secretary. Yes, I'll give him the message. Yes, so you're never going to hear from him. Yes, I'll put that on his desk, you know. So it goes to some committee and they look it over and that's just, yeah, put that in pile B and so on. They don't care about you. How many know they don't? Unless you give $5,000 or more, then they might. Oh, yeah, that's one of my donors. So how many know that once you get in, even if you're clean and honest, and I can name a few that are clean and honest, but they have trouble staying reelected because one of the bribes is, if you don't do what we tell you to do, then we withdraw the funds and we fund your enemy. We'll just raise somebody up that'll defeat you the next time. You will do what we say or else. It's ruthless. It's ruthless. I've been in the middle of it. I can tell you who they are and what they got and so on. It's horrible. Nasty. So it's hard to build these B's. But what if we got an A in there? They wouldn't be reelected. See, the voters might vote for them. But as soon as they got in, they would say, I noticed your daughter's about to go to school. Any way we could help you out there, maybe give you a free scholarship or something to one of the top schools here. Now, the minute you take that, you're it's like the mafia. You're owned. So you will vote the way I say. You owe me. And they can obligate you. Do you see what I'm saying? And pretty soon, that guy that went in poor and honest came out a millionaire, you know, with all kinds of goodies. Where did he get it on, you know, $7,000 a year or something? You know, where did he get all that? How did he get that when he went in and he was busy, you know, doing what he was supposed to do? Maybe he had a business on the side. Okay, that's good. And, of course, you can always give to the wife. You didn't actually bribe the guy. because you gave to his, you know, a cousin of his or whatever. And it just so happens she's in the business. Or pretty soon she's on the board of a major corporation. You know, this kind of stuff goes on all the time. So there's a million ways to bribe an official. Amen? And pastors, too. Well, I don't want to get into that because that gets too close to home. But I'll just tell you a couple things about David. Yeah. So pastors, you know, they also can be bribed. People pleasers. You know, people pleasers. Anyway, there's 100 ways also. So it's too easy for this thing to fail. So the only way you could do it is to make new creation, a whole new creation that would be just like Jesus, little Jesuses, where you would be a servant ruler who would rule always for the good of the beneficiary, whether it be a natural trust, whether it be a spiritual trust, whether it be a public trust. Wouldn't matter which one it is. And they're all related, by the way. But if you had underneath the public trust up there, that house over on the B side, and then underneath it you had a natural trust to restrain the rulers up in the public trust and restrict them and limit them, well, then you could protect the people from their using their power to actually take away the people's liberties and rights and all the things that God gave them, the natural, God-given, unalienable, inalienable rights and liberties and privileges and prerogatives and immunities and so on. All of those things that God wrote on their heart from the beginning of the world. Everybody was to be equal. There were no kings in nature. There weren't any one better than another. Everybody had equal value. But when you get into society, it's supposed to be that all men are created equal. But we forget the creation to just, you know, begin to change all that. So tyranny takes over. And people begin to steal everything. You know, there are some people out there who are very nasty. None in our church, but there are Methodists that are like that. They have discovered the method of doing that, you know. But we are so disorganized that you can't corrupt this place. It's very hard, you know. People just kind of come and go, and you don't have any idea who they are. But everyone is equal. You see, in God's sight, you're not only free, but you're equal. And so this state started that way. When the guys that came here, a lot of them were thieves. A lot of them were, you know, they were indictable up north. And they came down here because the first law they passed down here was, if you have a crime in some other state, it won't come into this territory. They will never be able to serve notice on you. So a lot of people came. That was an incentive. That was an incentive. And a lot of these people had done bad, bad things and owed a lot of money and had people out, you know, wanting to put them in jail and kill them and so on. And they just came here to Texas. Yeehaw! And they were having a good time down here because everybody was equal. There was no kings, no parliaments, no popes, no priests, no nothing. And when Santa Anna came across, the thing that bothered them was not so much, you know, the economic, political, and social stuff. It was more the religious thing. That guy's going to put a religion on us and force it on us. We won't be free to just worship God according to the dictates of our own conscience. We like the American idea better on that one. So we're going to have to fight them, and Santa Anna has thousands and thousands and thousands and we just have a bunch of, you know, coon hunters and possum killers and stuff, you know. I don't know if we can hold off. But the Texans believed, you know, hey, we're gonna defend our families and our posterity. We're going to take care of ourselves and our posterity. And they knew how to be wicked when they needed to be. Church on Sunday, but Monday, yeah, used car salesman. I'm going to do what I need to do to earn a living. Because this is a rough place to live in, really. Especially before air conditioning, you know. They didn't have air conditioning in those days. So there weren't so many people down here in Texas, you know. People were pretty spread out. But to get a clean government in Texas is like any other state, except that down here, one of the reasons why we wrote our documents a little better, even than the Americans, we wrote it better. Why? Because they watched the Americans, how they corrupted. They saw, what good is it to have a parchment, a piece of paper that says you're free when you're not? What if the government begins to encumber your properties? What if they begin to, you know, force you to do something you don't want to do. Remember the consent thing, consent of the government. I mean, it's neat for Jefferson to write all those words down, but who's going to make them stick? Because power quickly grabs up all the liberty and freedom. Pretty soon you got nothing. Your life, your liberties, your properties, they're all gone. There's no pursuit of happiness, only for the few. But it was set up to have no kings and no parliaments and no popes and no priests and no. But pretty soon, so Texas said, no, we gotta think this out a little bit. Because if this Santa Ana guy comes in here, we're going to be his slaves. As a matter of fact, he's going to kill most of us. So that was good, that was good. And he would have enjoyed that. We let him go several times. He was here several times, I don't know if you know that. But he came here several times, and one time, you know, we got him good. Was that John Wayne, I think, got him. I forget who got him. But then we send him back under good faith and so on, but he just made another army and came across again and so on. So they knew, you know, look, we either give up our homes right now, which we worked for years on this, and just, you know, let it go. Or we fight. We stand and fight. And he's got thousands. We've only got hundreds that we can keep together, and we keep losing them because on retreats you have to eat. Every time you retreat, you know, he's over there. Okay, let's go over here. And so, but you got to have food somewhere. And so it was hard. But so the Texans felt, you know, look, you know what's worth it is God. You know the thing that we're really after is we don't want civil and religious tyranny like that, where we're slaves of somebody and have to do what we're told and so on and so forth, because we're going to lose out on that deal. So we either stand and fight or lose. And let's stand and fight. Besides, we got a good reason right here. Let's worship the living God. And they wrote in their Constitution, not like the one in America, they wrote in there, for the glory of the true and living God. I like that. They're just bold as can be. Do you see what I'm saying? They weren't apologizing. One state under God, that's us. And so they didn't apologize. This is a God thing. We believe God gave us rights and we ain't giving them up. And so we'll fight to the death. Now, how to keep them? Ah, that's another problem. That's another problem. So the only way you could do it is to make lots of Christians in here. And that's hard because most Christians don't, they like the believe in Jesus part, that he wrote the stuff on your heart. They like that, the natural law, the revealed law. But what they don't like is the grow up part. Well, why do I have to be restrained? How many know every day you have to restrain your mind? You have to renew your mind every day. Every day you have to say, mind, you are wrong. Every day, because your mind will have a thought. He doesn't like me. I think I'll do this. Before he sees me, I'll go here, or I'll kill him on the way. You know, your mind, how many know you have minds like that? And then you have emotions. And fear, it's a bad way to make decisions is under fear. Or worry, or anxiety, or panic attacks. You know, how many of that? Those are bad decisions. All right, I'll just take this. And I'll call pastor, and I'll, you know, people make bad decisions. I hate it, especially when it's 3 a.m. and you're calling. Well, God bless you. I'm glad you called. It's so good to hear from you. I was hoping. I've stayed up till your call came. And so I always tell people, go to Jesus. Jesus, he's the power. I'm just a delivery boy. I just deliver the message. You know, I'm not the answer guy. There's guys on radio that do that. They give an answer for everything. The TV guys and stuff. I just can't do that. And besides, Peggy wants to control me at home. Oh, don't laugh. I mean, she does. She's a control freak. Stay here. You'll go. And I unfortunately said to her, Peggy, anytime you want me to be home, the church is second. You're first. Well, now you're not even second, third, fourth. Isn't that great? Y'all see the joy of this? This is heaven on earth. How many know that God wants heaven on earth? Now, if God wants it, he's going to get it. Because God has never been thwarted. No one has ever gainsaid, argued, and won against God. If he wants true government, he's going to have it. And I just try to think of all the states in the United States that could have true government, and I think of zero. This is the only place. This is the place you could have it. You're not going to have it in New York. You're not going to have it in California. You're not going to have it in Utah. You're not going to have it in Minneapolis. No way. So, I mean, a lot of them are sympathetic to the idea, but they don't have the moolah to do it, first of all. Second of all, you got to have a lot of economies like we do. And we got everything. I mean, you know, we are blessed beyond measure. You know why I think that? I don't think it's because we have a big land and all that. I think it's because we're just ordinary people. And we don't like to have some king over us or some emperor or somebody telling us what to do. I think we like freedom. How many know if you have freedom, you'll have sin? The minute somebody has freedom, they can turn freedom into license. And it looks exactly the same because I'm doing what I want. So every day you have to tell your mind, take every thought captive to the word of God. That may not be God's thought. Or every day you have to tell your desires, you do not want that. You want to do the will of God. But I don't. Yes, you do. I'll do it, but I don't want to. How many know that Christians, let's say this role right here, they didn't want to come today. They did not want to come. This row here, they've all agreed not to come. Paul, you're the only one over there. I can't believe it. David, you guys, you know, what's wrong with your rows? You know, so, you see, people are stubborn. People have their own will, their own mind, their own emotions, their own imaginations, all kinds of stuff. They want to run their own life because they're independent. So they want a declaration of independence from God. You see what I'm saying? Just they trust themselves. How many know people rely on their own thought or their own emotion or their own feeling or their own bodily, you know, something, you know, and they have to run off to get some medicine or go to a doctor or go to the hospital or something like that. Hello? How many know that God, I'm just telling you what God says, he wants you to go to him first. Now, if God fails you, you try one of those other deals. But we always seek God last. We try the pill first. Well, let me just try this, and if that doesn't work, I'll go to God. That's cool. It just doesn't agree with God. He wants you. How many know he wants you to seek him and just strip yourself down naked? God. I don't know if it's my sin or somebody else's or whatever. All I know is I'm coming to you. Whatever it is, believe me, I'll do it. You just tell me what you want. How many know that not many people are doing it that way? They're more going, well, I don't think God will answer anyway. That's a thought that comes into your mind. The last time I prayed, the guy died. You know, so there's just thoughts come into your mind. How many know that does come into your mind? I know when Pastor Jim prays for them, they get well. No, they don't, but I don't tell you about those. So we only allow the ones that win to, you know, say something. Now, the truth is that this thing is rigged so you can't win. God doesn't want you to win. You've already won. Once you come over here, an A, God loves you with a complete love, one-stop shopping. He builds the foundation. He builds the house. He's the one that saves you, justifies you, sanctifies you, glorifies you. He's the one that perfects you, makes you the salt and the light. He's the one that makes you the temple of the living God. He puts his name on you. His signature is on you naturally, spiritually, and in every way. You have the wisdom and the knowledge and the capacity to do the will of God on earth and to create heaven on earth. Now, you start with yourself. Are you happy all the time? Rejoice in the Lord always. That's a scripture. That's in the Bible. You can look that up. Rejoice in the Lord always. Philippians 4. It's in Philippians 4, verse 4. Do you want me to read it for you? Okay. So if he says, rejoice in the Lord always, how many know that that excludes complaint, grumbling, griping, depression? Did you hear what I just said? It excludes everything you're doing because he wants you to always be happy. I don't want to be right now. That makes me mad. He doesn't want you to. No. You do not rule. In the kingdom of God, he rules. I mean, no, God is God. He's God. He wants everybody on that side over there to actually live this thing to the hilt. And I can just tell you, it's glorious. It's exciting. You just have to be dead. That's the only requirement. You just have to be dead. And I'll tell you another thing. You can't kill yourself. You cannot kill yourself. But if you will read his word every day, that'll kill you. And if you will meditate and sing and praise God every day, that'll kill you. Your flesh will not be, it will not live. But if the minute you get a thought or a feeling or a desire, check it with the word of God. Immediately go to the word of God. Get a scripture that goes totally against that. Get a scripture that demolishes that and say, Jim, I don't want you running your life without relying on me. I don't want you having other gods. I don't want you having your psychological states tell me what to do or tell you what to do. I want you to be mine 100%. I want total joy out of you, David. I don't want anything else. Isn't that exciting? You see, all you have to do is do it, and then you're dead. That's what kills you. I tell you, to rejoice is the most deadly thing to the flesh. The flesh hates being joyful all the time. Let's say you did something wrong. My flesh wants to get you for that. I mean, I can't be happy with you around. You know, not doing what I told you. You dummy. I knew what was good for you. How many know that you have advice for other people that they need to follow? Well, God doesn't want you to do that. He doesn't want you to be a tyrant over somebody else. And, you know, even if you do it secretly like a good Christian, he doesn't want that. You know, good Christian will put on a humble face. Now, I'm just saying this for your good. Well, that's sick. What God wants is to listen to God. See what God wants to say. He wants you to edify that other person, build up that other person, rejoice that other person, even if they don't deserve it, even if they never deserve it. Just do it anyway. I mean, God's out to kill you. He doesn't say, come and die, and he says, come and die. Come unto me, all you that labor, and I'll kill you. You know, that's what he's saying. Enter into my rest. It just simply means you're not going to be able to rule anymore. It is over. Your reign is over. How many know that this is good for you? The best thing can happen to you is pain, suffering, problems, and troubles. Amen? Isn't that exciting? That's why David and I, we practice that. David's not as good at it as I am. I tell you, do not go to David, because he might let you off. That guy is much too nice. He's too nice. I've tried to teach him over the years, be rougher on those people. Don't let them even do anything. Don't even let them breathe. Don't let them breathe. You know what I'm talking about. Yeah, see. Don't let them breathe even. Because even secretly, he'll be praying for you. You know, he wants you to shape up. How many know that if you don't shape up, God still loves you? Amen. You're not going to change your mind. You're not going to change his mind. But how do I make that word come alive? Well, one thing is just read it. I don't go for the teaching about rhemas and, you know, tarrying before God. Oh, good. You know, I don't do that. That's Catholic or Pentecostal or something. I believe you just read the thing. Just read the logos. Read the written word just as it is. That's how Jesus defeated the devil. Now, I know God can speak, but the way he speaks is just take the written word. Just read what it says. It says he's for you. It says he loves you. Yeah, I mean, why? You don't need a rhema on that. God, I'm reading the words, but I don't know if I believe that. Really? Wow. I need a living word on that. Really? What's wrong with a written word? Well, it's shabby. It doesn't work. I'm reading it, but my emotions say no, and my mind says no, and my will says no. You know, it's the way I was raised. I've always been a victim. I love that. I love that. Are you a victim? No, you're the culprit. There are no victims. Jesus was a victim. Jesus was a victim, and he did not feel victimized. He was happy to do what he did. He wanted to die. He chose to die. Father, not my will, but thine be done. That's what he did with his will. He just conquered it. He just conquered his mind. He just conquered everything in him. Those are the Jebusites and the Girgashites and the Amalekites and the Hittites and so on and so on. So he just conquered them every day. I will not listen any longer to my psychological states. I mean, when someone listens to their psychological state, I'm just being honest. I just want to be honest with you. You make me sick. I needed to say that. I just needed to say that. And you know, when they say that, the minute they say that, let's say they said, I'm angry at you, and I needed to tell you that. Because this is what the witchcraft people do today. This is witchcraft, pure witchcraft. I just wanted to tell you how much I hate you. I've always hated you. I've been jealous ever since you were four. You know, and so on. You know what? That does not set you free. So God hates honesty. Because honesty is nothing. Honesty will bind you forever. Don't let it out to somebody else. Don't tell them what you feel, really. Now, I'm going to be honest with you. Don't do that. That is sinful. Speak the truth in love. That's not honesty. That's not psychological. That comes right out of the heart, which is interested in the Bible. So just quote the Bible to them. I don't care if you feel it or mean it or whatever. Just quote the Bible. Quote the Bible. Pretty soon it'll come alive. I guarantee you, though, before it works for them, it has to work for you. When you read the Bible, let's take the one I gave before about rejoicing always. How many here absolutely, literally rejoice always? One, two people, three. How long do I have to wait? Three. After all over the world, ships went out everywhere and they're all bringing it back and so on. And Solomon increased it because he asked for wisdom. And God said, because you asked for wisdom, I'm going to give you riches too and power and majesty and glory like no king has ever had before or after on this earth. It's amazing. So, how many know that Jesus doesn't have a kingdom yet with all that glory? He didn't have anything like Solomon had in all his glory. So he built it, and as soon as he built it, God liked it. Now, how many know God was able to fold himself up and scrunch way down and get inside that house? No, he just put smoke in that house so nobody could go in. And then Solomon said, plan B, I guess. Plan A is not going to work. We were going to dedicate this thing to God, but he obviously is in there already, and he's in the darkness. We cannot find him. We cannot see him where he is. How many know God dwells in darkness, thick darkness? So because God dwelt in the thick darkness, he had to turn himself. He was on a little thing that he had built out of brass. He got a little platform there, and he's standing up over the people. They could all see him. I mean, we're talking millions of people. They're all there. They're watching this thing. Took all those years to build. He had, you know, 500,000 working on this and 260,000 working on that and so on. He had hewers of water and drawers of wood and carvers and people working purple and in scarlet and blue and all this stuff. They were all cunning people. And when it was done, it was so beautiful that even God was very impressed and he liked it. So he put smoke in the house and nobody could go in. So the trumpeters were out. The choirs are out. Everybody's out. You mean it's come to this and we can't even get in? No. He won't let us in. How many know you can't just get into God's house? Even though they built it. Because God said, no, you didn't. No, you didn't. You just did what I said. And you should have done it willingly and gladly. Now, I want you out because the glory of God is going to fill this house. Because this is the place I'm putting my name in Jerusalem, in this temple, forever. That's why Israel isn't gone yet. I mean, there are people wanting to knock them into the sea. They're never going to go. I mean, they will bomb cities, Haifa, you know, all these big cities. So what? They're still going to be there. Why? God made a promise. So sooner or later, I don't care if there's not even an inhabitant in the land. God's still going to have them there. I mean, no, that God can't, like, say, okay, got another idea. So once God decides to fill his house with the glory, the problem is it isn't Jerusalem. It's a new Jerusalem. You and me, we're the new Jerusalem. He wants to build this in your heart. Not on, you know, some rock somewhere. Your faith in God's revelation is the rock. It's not a pope. It's not some person. It's the promise of God that he personally revealed to Peter. I'm not a pope at all. Who Peter, and Peter got that revelation, and Jesus said, oh, my Father in heaven gave you that. Your dad didn't. Simon Barjona, he didn't give you that. I gave you that. My Father in heaven, he's the one that revealed who I was. Now you know who I am. Son of God, son of man, both. I'm the only mediator between man and God. No pope, no emperor, no nobody, no priest, no pastor, no nobody. I am connected to you personally. Each one. When you're born, I write on your heart. And when you get saved, I write something else on your heart. I write over what I wrote. In other words, the law cannot make anybody perfect. So what's written on your heart is behave yourself. But what he writes on there is, they already did. I did it for them, I'm doing it in them, and I'll do it through them. I mean, no, you cannot live this Christian life. Nobody can. You cannot do it. All you can do is let him do it in you and through you, so that you enter into his finished work because you believe. You actually are a new creation now that always does what God wants. And we're not talking now physically. We're not talking now psychologically. We're not talking about your psyche. We're not talking about your honest states. We're talking about the power of the Holy Ghost who dwells within you. And he will build you, perfect you, which is Jesus. And the gates of hell can't prevail against that. There's nothing they can do. That is the most powerful thing in the whole world. Russia, I wish they had it. They've got religion. They don't have the true religion. Oh, they have all the doctrines. All the doctrines. Nothing wrong with the doctrines. The doctrines are very fine. But they can't make them happen. Therefore, they didn't do what he said. Is I want to build up that. I don't want to just have a foundation. Apostles and prophets. I don't want to just have faith in your heart. I want you to have also, I want you to be in love. I want you to love all mankind, everybody, scoundrels, rotten people, no good people. Amen? Pastor Jim. Hello. Did you know I'm a scoundrel? Apart from him, I knew nothing. In him, I can do all things. So I'm neither up or down. I don't even care. I just believe what he said. He said he loves me. He's for me. If God be for me, who can be against me? Is there anybody who can be against me? Nope. Even if you wanted to stab me or shoot me or get me or whatever, you're not going to get me. Why? God likes me. He likes me. Did you know that? Isn't that funny? Isn't that weird? Strange. Because I know I'm a scoundrel, but I'm wrong. I think God is right and I'm wrong. Did you know that God be true and every man a liar? Let God be true and every man a liar. Well, I'm a liar. Because I am now a saint, St. James. I'm in the Bible. It's awesome. Amen. I've told that to Peggy. Peggy, St. James here. She doesn't have a humor. She did not have a sense of humor at all. She doesn't think that's funny. She does not think that's funny. She's the same. Do you know what? God gets to decide good and evil. He gets to decide the way he wants to. And so Solomon turned to the people instead of to the temple because it was all full of smoke. They all saw the glory. Fire came down, burned up the sacrifices. Boom. And they were all like shocked and amazed. And he immediately stood up. All the people stood up and he began to bless them. He got down on his knees and began to then pray to God. God, who made heaven and earth. You're the one. And he says something very interesting. Hashemayim is Hebrew for the heavens. But he said something like this. Hashemayim, behold. Okay? So, I want you to see something. The heavens, even the heaven, singular of heavens, the im on the end, is like that word up there has an im on the end. When you, or eat on the end. The end changes because the prefixes and the suffixes change the word. So it could be singular or plural, but if you have the plural M on the end, im, I am, then it changes it. So Hashemayim is the heavens. Then he says, the heaven of the heavens. Okay? So Hashi, Hashemai, with no im on the end. That's it. So the heaven of the heavens. So God doesn't dwell in the heavens, plural. He dwells on his throne in the highest heaven. There's a whole bunch. Stratospheres, atmospheres, all kinds of spheres and stuff down here. And then up there, there's a whole bunch more. The devil's in the mid-heavens. I mean, the devil tries to stop your prayers from getting through and tries to prevent and all that stuff. You gotta beat him up there. Besides, that's going to be your inheritance. You're going to inherit that. And then God will make a whole new one. But he'll renew it. He'll restore it to his original intention, not to its original condition. And so what he intended is for you to truly be. And God's going to have a numberless host. And Bill, I hope you're in that group. Are you in that group? How do you know that?
I believe.
That's the secret. Right there. Praise God. Who else is going to be there in the highest heaven? Yeah. You know, this is God. I have never found one bad thing about God. There's no darkness. There's no shadow of turning with God. Once he says something, it's forever. He can never change his mind. If God is good, and he's the only one that's good, none else is good but God, Jesus said. So if nobody else is good, that means nobody else is good but God. But Jesus, of course, is God, so he's good. But he said, why do you call me good? He didn't say, I'm not. He just said, why are you calling me good? Are you saying I'm good because I did something or did a miracle or a sign of wonder? That's all right, because you can do them too. That doesn't make you God. Just because I can do a lot of things like that because of the Holy Spirit dwelling in me. I'm the temple of the living God. I can do things now, here. Can you all do that? How many can do them? Yes. He give you wisdom, and he'll give you knowledge, and he'll give you capacity. He doesn't want you to be you. He wants you to be his you. He wants you to dwell inside of you as his, set up his throne in your heart, and then in your soul, and then in your body, in your life, so that you are truly the light, so that people can see, ah, that's how we should be. And they can say the salt, ah, that's the truth we don't have. We need that. That's what. So God wants you to love your wife. Husbands, love your wives, just like Christ loved the church. So die for her. Amen. Isn't that exciting? Don't you love that? Where Peggy gets all the blessings, and I don't get any. He doesn't want me to have anything. Isn't that exciting? Don't you love that? So, somebody ready to get married now? Be good. You know, I'm going to tell you, it's good. That's good. That's good. I mean, I love it, and she knows it. She can tell. I delight to let her trample on me, abuse me, misuse me. I love it. Go for it, Peggy. Amen? Do y'all see what I'm saying? That's good. There's no weight on her at all. I love her unconditionally. No matter what she does, I love her just the way she is. If she gets worse, I love it. I don't care what she does. You cannot give me another wife. That's the wife. I'll never leave. I'll never forsake. Unless... No, there's no conditions. There's no conditions. If I'm your friend, I'm a friend forever. That's the way God does it. I mean, no, God does it. So there's pain in it. There's pain in it. When you're somebody's friend, you're going to get hurt. Have anybody discovered that in marriage or in friendship? You're going to get hurt. Sooner or later, that person's going to hurt you. Just because they won't be controlled by you, for one thing. I mean, that makes you mad right there. I'm only doing this for your good. If we didn't love you, we wouldn't, you know, beat you like this. So, but God doesn't like force. He likes to just do it his way. I mean, no, God's patient. I'll wait forever. In other words, I'm not dead. The reason I'm not dead, I believe, is because God wants this message to get out raw. Why? Because that's what people need. They don't need that fancier thing where it's soft. No. This is the best news in the world. Man, I don't think there's anyone that can resist this. There's no communist out there that can resist it. No Al-Qaeda that can resist this. You understand what I'm saying? They can kill me, but they can't stop me from loving them or telling them the truth or being the light and the salt. So before they get their licks in, God may just design it. So I'm going to be able to witness to them before they do. Or even after they do. How many know that after you kill me, it's nothing? I mean, God has other people. He has 7,000 others. a hope. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. So God wants to renew this world right now, and he's called us to build his house. You build that house, that's the foundation of the other house. That's the signature you have to have. There's no just government on earth that will ever be lasting. America's losing it. America has already lost it. If we weren't here, America would be down the drain already. We're the only state that stops the other guys from winning. That's why they put their headquarters right here in Fort Worth, right here, Tarrant County. They put it right here. They knew if we can defeat Fort Worth, Tarrant County, we can take Texas. That was their thought. We're going to send everything out from here. How many know because we're here, they can't do it? Woohoo! This is glorious. We just drew a line in the sand. Come and get it. I love it. I love it. So God wants Christians now to be part of his army. How do you do it? Well, you know what? You don't even do it. All you do is keep looking at him, and then that takes place indirectly. That just happens. You don't even make it happen. It'll just happen because there's joy here. There's life here. There's hope here. There's positive here. We're praying for our enemies. We don't care. They don't scare us at all. I pray every day for the president. I pray every day for all the people that are doing stupid and crazy things. I don't care. He's one that God loves. He loves him as much. If he loved me, he can love him. Two Chicago guys. I mean, no, Chicago's bad. And it's windy. That's one of the bad things. One of the good things is they paint the water there green on St. Patrick's Day. Well, that's a good thing. I always thought that was great as a kid. 10 cents, I put the 10 cents up on the little train thing because I was a little short. I put that up there. Where are you going? Oh, I'll go downtown. Okay, 10 cents. Then I get up on the second deck so you can see everything as you're going in from the suburbs all the way into the city. And I can see all the, you know, the mafia houses, see all the DuPonts where they live. Everybody's there. You got the whole spectrum, all the corruption. Then you get down into the city, you got museums and all that nice stuff. Everything's beautiful. But I love to go down and see that green water because I was Irish trash. Amen? It's good to be Irish trash. How many know that your background really doesn't make any difference? It's who likes you. It's who likes you. Who's on your side? Who's for you? Once God likes you, it's over. It's over. I'm taking it. I want everything God's got. Give it all to me. Don't hold back. Whatever you gave Abraham, I want that too. I want all the Moses stuff, everybody. I want everybody's stuff. How many know you can have everybody's stuff? He has blessed you with every blessing in heavenly places. How many believe that that's true? He has blessed, he already have it. You may not see it. You don't have to see it to believe it. Just believe it. And if you believe, then you'll see. But you can't listen to your emotions. You can't listen to your mind. You can't listen to your emotions. You can't listen to another voice. Don't listen to the devil, circumstances. Don't listen to other people. Don't listen to anybody but God. Read his word. It's written for you, dear sinner. And then after you become a saint, dear saint. Because what is a saint but someone who used to be a sinner? So it's still written for you because he's going to take you from believing down at the bottom to then dying out daily to then walking in love continually so that you're always led by the Holy Ghost. The Holy Ghost makes it so easy. That's why there's no labor. That's why there's no effort because you're just entering into what the Holy Ghost says. Jim, this is who you are. And I'm not checking with anybody inside of me. I'm checking with the Bible. What does it say? It says you're a new creation. The old has passed away. The new has come. Yee-hoo! You see that? Can I rejoice before seeing it, understanding it, grasping it? Yes. Just because he wrote it. Why? He wrote for me to be happy and safe and secure in this world. He sends me as a sheep out in the midst of wolves. Ha, 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 ha. How many know you can be a sheep? Bah, bah. And the wolves who want to devour you cannot touch you. How many know that? How many are aware that if you took him literally, he would be there as your good shepherd? And the wolves would see the shepherd and run. Because the shepherd has a stick. Did you know the shepherd has a staff to guide you, but he also has a rod to whack at wolves? Whack, get back. How many know that God can defend you and protect you even if you're surrounded by enemies, surrounded by disease, surrounded by poverty, surrounded by ignorance? I don't care what you're surrounded by. If God be for you, there's nobody can be against you. The Greek language, when it says, if God be for you, actually says, because God is for you, no one can be against you. Can't do it in English. In English, it's a question. But in the Greek, it's answered. The answer is in the question. If God be for you, who can be against you, is saying, because God is for you, no one can be against you. It's done. It's over with. So since we're the ruler, shouldn't we rule? And how do we rule? Well, we rule as servants. We just take whatever the ruler over us, we're submitted to him, our high ruler, and that's what Solomon said. He said, God, I watched. If I submit to you, everything will go my way, because all you have is promises. You don't have anything to weigh me down, to bog me down. That's what made Texas. That's why people came here. They didn't have any hope. They were looking for land, free land, lots of it. You could have thousands of acres. You could get it just for fighting in the army. This land we're on, two husbands died for this land we're on. Sarah Gray Jennings, she had two husbands. And so she got 1,280 acres, not just 640. That was awesome. Goes all the way downtown into the middle of the town down there. Goes all the way out to where we live in Hanley area. It's huge. Thousands of acres. What'd she get that for? She didn't do anything. But she's the sovereign of the soil, not the government. Once the government quit claimed that, and we have the patent that says so, once they quit claimed it, now they don't have it ever, ever. Because they can never be the sovereign of the soil. It's got to be individuals. So once you got that claim, once you have that title, that's your interest. Defend it. God gave it to you. So this one was set up so that we could actually build the kingdom of God here without any harassment. Just like the Americans said in their documents, but they couldn't keep it. Remember, Jefferson said to the lady, her name was Mary, on the day, the 4th of July, when they came out, actually the 2nd. She said, what kind of government did you give us? All you guys that were in there secretly for all those months. What kind of government did you give us? And he looked at her and said, madam, a republic, if you can keep it. In other words, we're not giving you anything. You got to keep it. You have to be one of these A's over here, or you're not going to be able to keep the B thing. We set it up, but we can't keep this republic for you. And now the enemies of the republic are everywhere. Everybody would love to see us fall. But we ain't falling. Why? We got a bigger agenda. What? His. You can't have yours. Yours won't do it. Well, I have a nice house. That doesn't mean anything. You don't own anything. By the way, you own nothing. You do not have a sovereign of the soil ownership of your property, which means it doesn't belong to you. You're using it. You're the same as a squatter. You're the same as a renter. You're just someone using. You have the rights to use it. So who owns it? God. Did you know God owns everything? So he didn't give it to them. Why? Because we followed his idea. A, that's how we got B. But now can we keep it? Well, you can't, but he can. So all you have to do is do what he said. Enter into his finished work. Enter into what he said. It's finished. He said it was finished. Tetelestai. It's over. The end is over. I've done everything. Now the Holy Ghost, it's his turn. He's gonna take what's mine and declare it to you. I'll keep the posterity thing going. How many know the Holy Ghost is what Jesus left with when he left? Well, don't go, Jesus. No, it's to your advantage that I go. No, it's not. Please, you can walk on water, stuff like that. Heal headaches. Beep, you know, we can't do that. We haven't learned that trick yet. He said, no, it's to your advantage. You need the Holy Ghost. We hate Holy Ghosts. We want you. How many know that ghosts are hard to see? You just can't see them. And so he's like, God, we don't want one of those. Jesus, could you please stay? We need you, really. We don't need aspirins anymore. We don't need anything. Remember how he healed the mother-in-law and all that stuff? Just goes, sometimes you spit. And, you know, he did all kinds of tricks and things, and they hadn't picked that up. They tried spitting, and they tried touching and yelling and screaming. Now, a lot of guys are, you know, kind of experts at that, if that's what you're into. But I'm telling you what, when God wants to give you something, no one's going to stop. You don't have to do some magic thing or tricky thing or anything. God just wants to give you everything. Take it. Take it. Stop being so holy. Take it. You need it. You want everything he has and more. Because he's got secrets you don't even know about. How many know he's saved the best till the last? And you're it. I'm going to say that again because you didn't pick that up. How many, he's saved the best till the last. The best wine hasn't yet been served. You're it. He's going to pour you out for the joy and the peace and the love and the happiness of this world. He's going to break your skin. Put you in a big vat with a lot of other Christians. Squeeze you all. Till there's no sin left in you. And then when you're like that, you're like, hey, anything. Whatever God says, that's it. All he has to do is kill you. How many would stand up and say, Lord, I want to be dead like that. Pastor, I want to be dead just like you said. I want to be happy and joyful and peaceful and effective and powerful. So then why go home? I want to be the spotless bride. How many are ready? Oh, praise God. Woo! Wow, that's pretty awesome. I can quit. Amen. Scott, closing prayer.